Hi, everybody. Welcome back on this Wednesday. We roll into hour number two, the 4 o'clock hour. In the first hour, we talked to Todd Rokita, Attorney General for the state of Indiana, about the Parents' Bill of Rights that his office has just put out. And I'm going to make sure we have the link for you to get to that. The other big story I wanted to get today, so how cool is it that just in the last several minutes, Mike Braun, Senator for the state of Indiana, his office let us know that he wanted to come on because he is certainly one I wanted to talk to about what occurred on the floor of the U.S. Senate yesterday. Senator Braun, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, good to be on, Pat.
Yep, always glad to have you, especially when we have a bit of good news to share. So the Senate Democrats they've tried everything, but they were trying to dance on one leg and then the other, and we're gonna get this done because we'll do away with the filibuster, and then we'll do it because of this and because of that. And how could Republicans vote against something that will absolutely guarantee the right to vote for people? And this crazy legislation did nothing of the sort.
I mean, it is so convoluted based upon, again, states trying to do it the way the Constitution says. If you've got issues with election laws, when you're in session, take a look at them. Make sure that they make it easy to vote according to rules that make sense, and that you're casting a legal ballot, and a legal ballot is counted. That generally is the framework the founders gave us. And just to list a few of the more egregious things that this bill would have done, it takes away voter ID. It does automatic registration. Allows unlimited ballot harvesting, mandates drop boxes, not a choice anymore,
right,
in terms of where you'd put them. The feds get involved with that. And listen to this one. $6 of federal money for every dollar you raise in contributions from 200 and under, I believe, is the particular way that works. And imagine that we'd be borrowing the money and ended up supporting candidates that we're not even for necessarily. It creates kind of a partisan FEC. I mean, you can go on and on. It basically federalizes what the Constitution says clearly is a state prerogative. Called for the People's Act. They're good at kind of brand naming whatever mm-hmm. they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Should be called for the Politicians Act.
Yep.
And that's what, thank goodness, every Republican held firm, and it went down on a straight party line vote, even though Manchin and a few others had indicated they don't like the content in it. Since it was a procedural vote, they didn't want to upset Chuck Schumer, and that's why he and several others that had reservations about the bill itself decided not to thwart its ability to proceed, but they needed 10 Republicans for that to happen.
Yeah, and in that, I mean, Schumer, he might be diabolical, he might be the devil on foot, but he's also not totally stupid. He knew they couldn't get to 60 votes, so he pushed this so that they could use this in the future, next year in the congressional elections, as propaganda fodder. I mean, that's exactly what they're going to do here. We wanted to make sure your votes were safe forever. We didn't want you to go through what you went through last time or the time before, but the Republicans, those dirty, filthy, rotten Republicans, stopped us. You need to make sure that we take back over the Senate and we take over the House. You need to make sure we stay in control. If we let the Republicans have it, we're doomed. And the exact opposite of that is true.
There's no doubt about it, but we've had this discussion before. You've got to give them credit. They move quickly. They brand name. They distort. And they're just quicker at the draw on that kind of stuff. And we got to make sure we articulate what the reason is behind it, like you just said, and then go at the content of it. Pat, what in effect it would do? I ran as an outsider from Main Street. Had to put a lot of my own skin in the game to get there in the first place. This creates a bigger kind of contingent of career politicians. I
mean,
when you do this, you're not doing some of the things like I've worked on, like getting rid of the pensions out here that incentivize you to stay here for decades, ending all the perks that come along with it. Here, you're even encouraging this to be federalized along with, to me, it's a way to create more career politicians. We need term limits, and we need some reforms there. We do not need this.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and I'm with you on term limits. We've had that conversation also. I thought it was interesting when Ted Cruz kind of turned the tables on all the bogus talk and everything when he said, that is a grotesque lie, Mr. President, and the majority leader knows that. In other words, it's a lie. You know it's a lie. We know it's a lie. But you're going to keep putting it out there because going forward with your raft of lies is the only way you're going to keep the American people in the boat with you all, and that's ridiculous. The one thing I can't get over, and this is... I'm going to say a couple things, Senator. You might not want to attach your name to them, so be ready to hang up on me. This voter ID thing, the whole idea that voter ID suppresses minority voting. So I'm supposed to believe that the black and brown people in our country cannot achieve picture ID. They can't get a driver's license. They can't get an ID card that the government will pay for you to have if you don't get a driver's license. They can't do any of that. But at the same time, those same things, Senator, are required when you go in to get your COVID vaccination. So am I to believe now that if it's wrong for voting, it's also wrong for COVID? The Democrats requiring COVID ID when they go in to get inoculated must mean that they don't want blacks and browns to be inoculated?
So that's the irony and kind of the bizarro nature of the way things work here. And they'll that one item you just mentioned, 80% of Americans across the board, and that's all the minority groups,
right,
agree that you should bring identification to the polls, and most with a photo ID. They'll back off on that, and here's how they will work. So Manchin clearly would like to get something done. He wants it to be bipartisan. The first thing they'll come back when they reprise this is they'll say, okay, we're going to get rid of that plank in this bill, and that is we're going to go along with, because it polls at 80%, that you need voter ID. And then they'll start chipping away at maybe a few others, along with there's been discussion that selectively Manchin and a few others would be interested in a 55 vote threshold. Then all of a sudden you're getting some of the wobblers on our side, and that's what they'll do. We're not done with this. It'll be used for political purposes, like you said, in the elections. They'll also come at it another round or two by putting so many egregious things in it, pulling some of them out, and then maybe getting a few of the wobblers confused. Plus, if they lower that threshold to 55, which they can do, you can change the filibuster rules at any time, and then we'll see, you know, how stout Manchin is, Sinema, and some of the others that have said they're against it.
Yeah, and I have felt with her op-ed in the Post days ago that perhaps Sinema was, in fact, more entrenched on trying to literally do something to stop this nonsense. But I can't be aware of that right now. I don't know if we can trust any of them. I mean, I really don't.
Pat, on a lighter note, because we stood firm there. You hear all this discussion that nothing can get done here in the U.S. Senate. Since I've been here, I've been probably the loudest voice on trying to reform health care and running a business.
Right.
That industry needs to get in line, or you will get walloped with. The Obamacare was just the first salvo, some version of Medicare for All. That has not had much headway because it's entrenched, and even in Indiana, where we sport some of the highest costs, it's hard to crack it. We're actually getting some good transparency and competition laws done at the state level. The other issue that I don't want to get blindsided on is climate, and we've got to be in that discussion. Yeah, because we'll get the Green New Deal. And if we don't come up with innovative technological approaches based on small government and not doing it from the feds, mm-hmm. we get in trouble there as well. So tomorrow, there are 27, roughly half of all Republicans will end up, they're sponsoring a bill. I authored it that matches up farmers. Agriculture is fully behind it, not only in Indiana, across the country. Young conservatives, a broad array of support that takes existing markets that farmers, tree and ag, can take advantage of without spending a penny of really government money. It's not a government program. It's the kind of thing that we can get through even in these tough times, and that should get a floor vote tomorrow, been something we've been working on for 2 years to show how conservatives get involved in difficult issues without using the federal government and borrowing more money to do it.
You and I,
some good news.
You and I, about a month and a half ago, we were at a dinner together. In fact, I had the opportunity to interview you for the dinner and appreciated all that you did that night. But you and I were having some conversations about some people, it seems to me, in D.C. are just content. And in fact, some of them are insistent on pulling over the wool over people's eyes. You know, Zig Ziglar used to famously say, if I catch you lying to me once, I'm going to put a question mark over everything else you ever tell me. But we never seem to have that ability with people in Washington. How much worse is it? I mean, you knew to a degree what it was going to be like in D.C. How much worse is it than even what you surmised before you took the floor?
Well, you know, when I ran, the campaign that was waged against me was based on lies and distortions to the point where we wondered whether you could come up with it. You wondered what isn't going to be like that in the Senate. It is on these hot ideological issues. I mean, you'll take like this H.R. 1, S.1, and twist it in every which way to where you're called maybe a racist or a vote suppressor if you're just wanting to do what the Constitution says. But there are places I found, and I think we'll even make some headway on reforming health care. That was a number one issue, but it takes time, Pat, and even that common sense, practical stuff generally carries an ideological edge, and that's when you start getting into the parlor tactics and the vitriol and all the other stuff that comes along with it. I knew what I was getting into when I did it, so I've not really been surprised by it, but it's pretty well been confirmed in the time I've been here that sadly that's more the dynamic than taking practical approaches to things that we both can find some common agreement on. This just happens to be one. There haven't been many.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Senator, I've got to run. The clock's my enemy. I appreciate you very much today and for your time. We'll look forward to hearing from you again and hopefully in the next couple of weeks, and maybe we can get away from this S1 nonsense and move to something positive. Thanks very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome, Pat. Yeah,
Podcasts by Federated Media.